This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 22 minutes past the hour of 2. The former Speaker of the House, Kurt Dowd, is here. How about a round of applause for Kurt, who stopped on by? Two of the three members of your family applauding.
Yes.
I mean, how should you feel about that?
If a Republican's getting 66%, it's good in Minnesota. I won't complain.
That is pretty good. Okay. You've joined me out here at the fair many times. I appreciate that. When you come out here at the fair, if you can come out here and stop at your first place, where is Kurt Dowd's first place to stop?
I did, actually, today. I got here at about 1 o'clock. I walked through the gate, and I went to the Turkey to Go booth and had a turkey sandwich. That's my all-time favorite. So
Turkey to Go, they used to have a location right across the street from us downtown.
Okay.
And I went there all the time.
Yeah.
So then when I would come out here to the fair, it wasn't high priority.
Yeah.
It is now.
I love it.
Turkey to go. Okay. I'm sure you miss many aspects of politics. I'm sure you don't miss many aspects of politics. Do you miss the fair when people were upset with you? You certainly wouldn't mind when, like, hey, Kurt, you're doing a great job. But if somebody was agitated with you.
You know, I will say Minnesota Nice is a real thing. And I never really had a very bad experience.
Not even one time?
Nope. In all the years that I was coming to the fair, even out in public, didn't really matter. Didn't have to. I never had a really uncomfortable where somebody was rude and just, you know, yelling at you and swearing at you. I mean, I've had people, you know, yell things out, but
yeah.
Nobody's ever come up and, you know, accosted me before, which Minnesotans are pretty... you know, pretty nice that way.
Tell people your job right now, because a lot of people probably don't know what you're doing
sure.
at this point.
Yeah, I work for a consulting firm in Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. And we have corporate clients who we help them develop strategy or, you know, do risk assessments for their... and we do help them engage with state governments. We don't do any lobbying directly. If they need a lobbyist, we refer them to somebody else. But... we kind of advise them on how they should get engaged and where they should get engaged, strategy and kind of risk assessment.
Really. If I would have told you six years ago, that would be your job. 6 years, what would you have said yourself?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Right?
I don't know.
Would you have guessed you would still be in politics at that point?
You know, I don't know. Probably not. I did 13 years in the legislature, which I thought was a long time. I would have not thought I would have gone past 12 years or even 10 years. Everybody always thought I was going to run for something else, run for governor.
I used to ask you that constantly.
I know.
Right?
And I never did. I never did.
But how come?
I wanted to. The timing was never right. I always felt like my team needed me in the House, and, you know, I was the leader of the caucus for 10 years, so I just kind of felt like, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, and I felt like I was good at it, you know, maybe too good, I don't know, or depends on your perspective, I guess. The Democrats didn't like me, but I think, you know, they used to tell me, they were honest, they didn't like because I was an effective messenger, right? So I could very easily and succinctly kind of message against what they were doing and in a way that people could absorb. And I think, you know, I was an adversary,
worthy adversary?
Worthy adversary.
Closest you came to running was?
I think, what year would it have been? 18. And I actually did some fundraising.
Okay.
I went around on the circuit and did a little fundraising.
For the governor position?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I never started a campaign or a committee, but had a couple of events where I was just raising it into my own campaign, because then you can, if you declare you're going to run for governor, you can flip it over.
Yep.
So And it's, you actually get the benefit of, you can raise from those same people again in the new committee. So there's a little benefit to it. But
okay, how far along did you go?
I didn't get too seriously into it.
Yeah.
I did tour around the state and talk to folks. We kind of built up some supporters, but it just, the timing didn't end up being right. Either for me, or I didn't feel like it was going to be a very good cycle. And I was right about that too.
That was Jeff Johnson's second run.
Yes.
Against Tim Walz.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you think for the same position, do you think either party should put the same person out there a second time, male or female?
No.
Yeah.
No. Although, you know, I say that, but there's a lot of people who have run multiple times. I think John Klein down in the 2nd District ran 3 times before he won.
Yep.
And he was a great member of Congress. So, yep. You know, I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah.
I didn't. You know, and I like Jeff Johnson. I think he's a great guy.
He's a very nice
man. I don't
fan.
Think it was the right dynamic the second time, right? So, but I think it was a little more appealing because he ran against Dayton the first time and against Walz the second time.
It
was an open seat, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
I think that looked like a little better opportunity.
What?
Running against an incumbent is tougher.
Yeah, it
no
is.
No question.
What needs to happen for your party, the Republican Party, to win a statewide race? You know this very, very well.
Yeah,
Tim Pawlenty, 2006, is the last one. I think he even mentioned this last time we talked.
Yep.
Because Pawlenty's on this show fairly often, and he keeps saying we got to stop doing the same damn thing.
Yeah.
That if we don't adjust the brand, if we don't look at it like as consumer, that the public is saying no. Not saying no to individual races.
Yep.
Because you certainly, I mean, there's both the House and Senate are relatively close.
Yep.
And some seats, Republicans win easy. But at a statewide level, it just doesn't happen. What should change?
The number one thing that, well, I'm going to answer your question directly first, which is Republicans need to connect with voters in a better way. We need to, and I feel like we're better on the issues. Unfortunately, we aren't better at talking about it. We aren't better at connecting on them. And so we need to do a better job of that. I think it was on your show that Tim Pawlenty said, we've become experts at losing elections.
That is
Republicans
correct.
Have. And I think that's true. But outside of what should Republicans do, and now that I'm on the outside kind of looking back in, the number one thing that we need to do as a state, and this is people on both sides of the aisle, we need to get away from our damn caucus system. I think it's destroying both parties from the inside. And you know, the Democrats have done a better job. The last two governors that have been elected did not get endorsed by their parties. They ran in a primary. They became the nominee, and they won. For Republicans, we've always had a primary, but the person who wins the endorsement has always won the primary.
Yep.
So we have not broken the primary system or the caucus system yet. And I think we need to. The problem with the caucus system is you've got, I don't know, a couple thousand people or, you know, I don't know what the number is, 5,000 people maybe that show up statewide at these
max,
little meetings.
Right?
And they are, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, extreme versus moderate. People who should be there don't go because it's such a pain in the neck.
It's a Saturday. It's not really prime time politics.
And then going through these conventions, it's terrible. So you've got the smallest number of people making the decision on who our candidates
are. But don't you think it is for the Democrats further to the left and for the Republicans further to the right?
Absolutely.
Who shows up?
It has done that.
And okay, let me just try to push back at when you say you think the Republicans are better on the issues.
Yep.
Don't you think there are plenty of Democrats listening right now saying, Kurt, I like you, but if we keep winning every race from 06 on, how can you say the Republicans are better on the issue?
Because we can't connect with people on it. We can't. I mean, you just look at what Tim Walz has done and the Democrats and the legislature have done in the last 2 years. I mean, they increased the state budget by 40%. I mean, the only way you can pay for that is tax increases. And while we had a surplus to cover it now, about $10 billion of that was like ongoing increased spending.
It's always there. It's built in.
And they are, I mean, we are already the fourth highest tax state in the country. If we continue on this path, there's no I mean, Tim Walz, Mark Dayton used to always say, we don't want to be an outlier on anything. And we have become outliers on all of this stuff.
Well, I mean, listen, I am no fan of how far they went.
Yeah.
Right? I think when he was a congressman, I think it's clear, he was a centrist. He ran attempting to be a centrist.
Yep.
I think the first one where you were there for all of it, there were times, but when they got the trifecta, I think they basically admitted they just felt like they didn't know how long they were going to get it.
Yep.
And they went for every single position
they weren't
going to
miss that opportunity.
Really believed. Yeah.
Right.
And as you said last time, okay, I remember you saying this to your credit, and I think the Republican Party should listen. If the Republicans had the same opportunity, they most likely would have done the same thing, just with different positions.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true. And I think our system incentivizes that sort of behavior, right? So, and we are this state that can flip back and forth. I don't know for how long, but it's been flipping back and forth. So, you know, when Republicans are in control, they try to move us this direction. Democrats try to move us that direction. And you don't end up with a consistent, steady policy that's good for the state. And unfortunately, nobody's sitting in St. Paul with a long-term, you know, if you ran a business that was a $40 billion business, you'd do some long-term planning, and you'd have a strategic plan, and you'd have a roadmap to that plan out 10, 15, 20 years. But ours is tack hard this way, then tack hard that way. And it's very reactionary, and it's not good for the state.
By the way, that's what happens in the country too. Right.
Yes.
I mean, I still believe 40-50% of the country is somewhere in the middle, but unfortunately, they're not represented. And to me, they're not represented at the top of the ticket with these two options we have. Let's pause. Let's go to traffic and weather. We'll keep Kurt for another segment. Don't forget Jason at the top of the hour. Kurt Dowd, the former Speaker of the House, kind enough to join us. It's 2:33 on the home of the Twins, WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kurt is back with us. Kurt Dowd. Okay. Yesterday, among the dumbest stories was Governor Walz, who you have a healthy disagreement with, right?
Yes.
The idea yesterday off one goofball tweet that Scout, his dog, wasn't real.
So I have a theory about this.
Okay. I mean, and honestly, there were people debating, did Governor Walz, does he really have a dog? I mean, own up to, by the way, you think he's too far left, or you question this and that. Fine, all fair. But he doesn't have a dog, and he was lying about his dog? That's where we are in America 2024.
Yeah, yeah. My theory is that Democrats put that stuff out to distract Republicans from the real issues.
Come on.
And the Republicans hook, line, and sinker fall for it.
Well,
and they're all over it. All my people I follow on Twitter are all over that story. And it's like, come on, guys. You got a governor who literally allowed Minneapolis to burn, made the decision personally to pull the people out of the third precinct and give it up to the protesters. You've got the largest criminal fraud against the federal government in history. And we're talking about the governor's dog. Get the hook out of your mouth and get to the issues that could actually sway voters.
Listen, those are all valid points, right? And I think people should spend way more time on that. In this case, it was a Republican supporter who did it. There are other times that both parties can throw the hook.
Yes.
But
that's how I know how to recognize the hook.
Yeah, this is utter nonsense. In this case, it was somebody who was very sympathetic to the Republican Party. Okay, we're going to have a debate September 10th between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. How vital is that debate to who's going to be our next president?
I think it's pretty vital. I think it's important. It's interesting to see if they're going to keep the rules of the last debate that were already agreed to. It
mic on, mic off.
Came out yesterday that now Kamala Harris doesn't want the mics cut off. She wants Donald Trump to interrupt, and I think Donald Trump wants the mics off, but that's what was agreed to.
His supporters want the mic off.
Well, true.
Whether Donald does is another situation, and he's the only one that matters.
I'll tell you what, though. It's tough not to interrupt people when they're saying something that you either know not to be true or you vehemently disagree with.
Right.
I've been in that situation. But I think it's pretty vital. I wish I knew the exact number, and I should have checked before we went on the air. 35 days now? How many days has she been in? And still has not done a sit-down interview or a press conference. Yeah. And imagine this.
I agree with you 100%
The leading candidate running for president of the United States, the leading candidate in her entire campaign, has never done an interview with the press and has not done a press conference. And we're 35 days in. It used to be the first thing you did was the round with the press. You announce you're running and you go and do interviews with all the press. So what are they hiding? Why isn't she talking? And what are they afraid of?
Okay.
And I think we're potentially going to see that in that first debate.
Well, you're preaching the choir on this one because, you know, we also have to point out, and I'll just say this briefly on Trump and get back to Harris. When Trump holds a press conference, facts are optional. Okay. He might bump into a fact or two occasionally. However, you're 100% right. She didn't make it to Iowa in 2020. Not a single person voted for her this time.
Correct.
The Democrats didn't tell the truth about Joe Biden for a year plus.
And she helped cover it up.
She played a part of it. So at this point, she absolutely, positively should answer questions. But you know what they're going to say? She keeps going slowly but surely up in the polls. They keep raising more and more money. So why should they disrupt it? As a member of the media, I hate it.
Now, you want my honest opinion? They're pretty smart. They're pretty smart to keep her under wraps.
Yeah.
Because it has been working. And if I was them, I would try to continue it as long as I could. And I was thinking about this yesterday. It also means that the questions about Joe Biden and him getting out of the race, those are old history now, right? Are they going to really ask her, you know, how much did you know? When did you know it? When did you realize he couldn't run for president or that he wasn't, you know, or if he couldn't run for president, how is he acting and serving as president right now? And if he's not making those decisions, who is? She can't answer those questions.
Okay.
Not honestly.
So I care about this. You as a Republican cares about it. Does the voting public care about this issue nearly as much as we do? If Trump wins, and I have no idea who's going to win, as long as Biden was in the race, I don't think there was any doubt Donald Trump was going to win. Okay, I have no idea who's going to win this. Does the public really care about the policy points? Who do the press conferences truly appeal to? I say this as someone who absolutely wants her to conduct a press conference.
Maybe it's my wishful thinking. I wish the public cared more about those policy issues because I think that's where we win. If people knew the tax policy and the spending policy and the, you know, it's interesting to see her try to adopt his policies, though. You know, she cast the deciding vote on this thing to tax tips, right?
Yeah.
And now she comes out because Donald Trump has been telling everybody that tipped income is not going to be taxed. Now, all of a sudden she's not going to tax.
Well, he did it about 2 weeks before her. Like he's been doing it for years.
I think even more than that. But yeah, this cycle, definitely. But she literally cast the tie-breaking vote to keep the tax on tips.
She's moved dramatically
the border,
from 19.
You know,
there's
she's
no doubt.
She's saying she's going to secure the border on day one. Well, you're on day 1300 of your term, and you have done nothing. In fact, you've done the opposite of nothing.
Okay, but you would have to say, listen, Biden has to own a lot of the chaos on the border. 100%. I agree with that.
Yes,
I've made that point a lot. However, when Lankford,
and she was the border czar, whether she wants to say she was or wasn't,
but she was very involved. She was very involved.
Yes,
but when Lankford, Murphy and Sinema came up with a deal where the Democrats, as you know, didn't get their pet projects, and it was going to make some level progress. Not a lot, but some level progress. Who stopped? Who stopped it? You've got to answer the question.
Here's the dirt. I don't know because
Donald
I wasn't
John
there.
John Trump.
I
Come
wasn't
on.
There.
Yes, you do.
But here's the real
One of the
facts.
Rare times you didn't answer questions.
Here's the real facts. They don't need that bill to secure the border. Donald Trump didn't need that bill to secure the border. He did it. Biden could do it if he wanted to, and Harris could do it if she gets elected if she wants to.
But,
and she will try to blame a Republican for not wanting to secure the border. And voters are smart enough to know that how stupid that sounds.
Okay, but since the executive order passed, the border numbers have improved dramatically. You have to acknowledge that, right? The last 2 months since Biden offered up the executive order, which, by the way, was tied to politics.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's say this about Donald Trump. You're a Republican. You're not exactly enthusiastically voting for this guy who is a wild card every day. And let's admit, wakes up every day and says, how will today benefit me?
So I have, I had a debate this week with a friend of mine who is a woman. She's works in my field. She's from another state. She worked for a Republican governor for years. She considers herself a Republican. She hates Donald Trump. And her and I went back and forth. And we came down to this. She cares a lot about January 6th and abortion. And those things are not as important to me as the border and tax policy and all of the things. So when I look at Harris versus Trump, I can't wait to vote for Trump. Now, do I wish I could create a candidate myself? Sure. But
would you vote for
Nikki
Haley over Donald Trump?
Would I have? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she would have been better in the general election and for our party. But that's not the choice I have today.
Do you, okay, on foreign policy, do you trust him standing up?
Yeah.
To the most evil of all, to Putin,
I do.
And Xi. What's the proof?
I think he has stood up on foreign policy more than anybody else has. I mean, even sure he has. And I would say you have to be
more than Reagan.
Somebody has to fear more than the current cast of characters. I think somebody has to fear you before they can trust you or like you.
Do you think Vladimir Putin feared Donald Trump?
I don't think that Russia.
Vladimir Putin fears Donald Trump as much as you fear me.
I don't think Russia invades its neighbors under a Trump presidency. I think that's a fact. And
it's an opinion.
They just
come on, you know it's an opinion.
Okay, it's my opinion, but I believe it to be true.
Right.
But I think that's the sort of thing that I don't think Biden and the Democrats are respected as a strength in the world.
But a lot of Republicans don't want to give Ukraine any more money.
Correct.
This is the Republicans
are
the party that normally stands up, and they're saying enough. Donald Trump is basically saying, hey, just give Russia what they have right now and cut it to an end.
Yeah.
You think Ronald Reagan would have said that?
No.
Right? So Biden is standing up stronger to Putin than Trump is right now.
That's your opinion.
All right. I always appreciate you coming on. Get back in politics. Come on. Run for office.
Keep twisting my arm.
Yeah, let's see. How about a round of applause for Kurt Dowd? A politician you can have a debate with, and he'll answer questions. We need more Kurt Dowd in politics.
I'm gonna clip that.
Yeah. I'll say it's fake news. It was AI. It wasn't me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.